analysis. We had to understand on both a department-by-department level as well as the bigger picture, what the trade-off was for each new program or item that was added into the budget. Again, just a refresher for the public and the council, Measure I-24 was renewed back in November of 2024. This is a general tax that comes into the general fund, and the council has historically reallocated 100% of that funding back to our roads program. We're generating somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 million annually. Again, that money is supporting the work that we are doing, mostly on the capital side for new road segments, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Measure J-20, again, a $0.01 sales tax that was approved back in 2020. We've been able to add over 50 positions, all pretty much predominantly in public safety, both on the police and fire side. We now have things like Fire Station 3 operational, our paramedic squad, and the largest sworn complement that we've had on the police department side in the city's history. Just to look out a little ways, we do want to have a conversation as part of these discussions around the fact that this measure is scheduled to sunset in 2032 without further action and direction by the council. One option that you do have available to you is to consider early renewal rather than waiting until 2032 when that proverbial cliff is out in front of us. We would be able to have additional community conversation, show the investment that has been made through Measure J-20, and potentially bring that to a ballot to the voters in 2028, which is a presidential election year. It also, again, removes ourselves from having that conversation right up to the end of that sunset. More consideration and discussion should happen around that. What that does is it allows us to really move towards some long-term planning efforts that we need to have around deployment of public safety resources. Particularly with growth on the east side, we need to look at both police and fire facilities and deployment models that came out of standards of cover. Particularly Fire Station 2, as I'm sure Chief Stornetta would reinforce with you, it does not meet any semblance of a modern fire station. It's, as you all know, an old hangar, and we have been kind of patchworking that facility together. That likely needs to be replaced with a more modern station for deployment, especially as we continue to see growth on the east side. Somewhere down the line, not in the immediate future, we also are projecting that we're going to need a fourth fire station on the north side of town. Both these types of facilities require long-term planning with a stable, ongoing revenue source to be able to support these efforts. Otherwise, it would be then incumbent upon the general fund to pick up the costs, and again, there's opportunity cost with that, or look at some sort of borrowing mechanism, which again, we historically have not done. We've kept our debt in the broader general fund, I think, to about 1% or a little less, our debt service. Next slide, please. I just wanted to give you some perspective on what some other cities are facing in the coming budget cycle compared to kind of where we're at. Just for perspective, I'm not going to read you all these headlines, but these are the types of things that we are seeing in other communities, and it's for a variety of different reasons. Again, wanted to provide some perspective that comparatively, while we're not in growth mode, we're not going to be able to tackle every capital project that we need or be able to add positions that would benefit service in the community. We're also not in a position where we're talking about, in some cases, hiring freezes, layoffs, cuts to police and fire services. We're not in that position. I always have to talk about the state. We're still working off of data that was provided by the governor's office back in January, where they estimated for the upcoming fiscal year that they were going to be running a $3 billion deficit, which balloons to about a $20 billion deficit in the following year. These numbers are going to be updated when we get the May revised budget from the governor's office, probably either this week or next. And we have heard that income tax, which is a big driver of state revenue, has been coming in higher than projected. So these numbers may change a little bit. I'd just like to put out the warning flag. If there are multiple years of deficits at the state level, they typically like to come looking at cities mm-hmm. to help solve issues. And I just like to make sure that we have our antenna up and understand that if the economy at the state level and the revenues at the state level do get worse, you know, we'll need to keep our attention there. Ken, we're going to talk a little bit more about your goals tomorrow night, but this, you know, these broader kind of categories are what has been driving a lot of the internal dialogue and discussion that you'll see tonight and tomorrow. But that's the baseline for what we do, is to try to implement and support the goals that you all set for the organization and for the community. And we look forward to kind of playing leapfrog over the next few months as we talk goals and budget and make adjustments as necessary moving forward. And then I'll leave you all before Ryan gets into the numbers with some key takeaways, is again that as we talk about the budget, revenue growth, of course, very constrained. We have core services that will remain stable in our budget, as Ryan will share with you, for the general fund and the areas that he's going to talk about tonight is balanced. We have to make sure that we're strategizing and priorities that, and creating priorities around what is in the budget. And then probably more for the community, but I always like to remind folks about what the budget is. It's to advance the council's vision, to of course maintain the fiscal health and provide the services that our community needs, and it also provides an opportunity to invest in the future of our community. So with that, I want to take a moment to thank Mr. Cornell before we get started for his work on this budget, as well as our department heads, many of them are here tonight, who've worked tirelessly over the last 2 or 3 months or longer to put this part of the budget together. This is a preliminary budget, so it's starting the conversation, and we will continue to have these conversations over the next month, 2 months. And with that, without further ado, Mr. Cornell will run you through all the fun stuff.
Thank you, Chris. Ryan?
Thank you, Mr. City Manager. It really is. It's going to be a recurring theme of pretty much what Chris said. I have a lot of slides that have similar bullet points and themes and messages as well. I was actually looking over the last 8 years or so since I've been doing budgets for the city, and this one has probably been the most challenging one because of the revenue constraints that we do have. And there's some pretty good visualizations I have on charts that really show the flattening of revenues. So, as Mr. Hewitt said, our proposed budget for the next 2 years is balanced. Over the next 2 years, we're anticipating a little more than $54 million in general fund revenue in the first year and about $55 million in the second year. On the opposite side of the expenses to be in balance, they're showing just slightly under, so 51.96 in the first year and 53.08 in the second. So what this kind of means is I'm going to kind of go into details of what's kind of included, what's proposed in the appropriations. But again, it is currently balanced. So if we get into our goal setting session tomorrow and we want to add certain things in, we have to keep in mind that it is an opportunity cost, and we will either need to reduce expenses elsewhere or pull some of our reserve levers that we're kind of holding back at this particular point in time. As of right now, in both fiscal years, the minimum reserve of 30% of revenues is being met. And then it definitely is a live within our means type of budget. I remember, I think it was this time last year, it was two years ago, we our first revenues over expenses slide show about like a $30 million deficit. We could have done that again this time around. We have the needs. We have plenty of deferred capital maintenance projects where we could have showed a big deficit, but we've already kind of went through the work to try to reduce where we can, defer projects, kind of slow down some of our set-aside funding in order to meet this balanced budget. But I do want to emphasize, tomorrow night we do have City Council goals and visionings. That is your prerogative to add things, to remove things. In doing so, it will definitely change some of these figures that I have presented tonight. So let's talk about a little bit of the history. So this is just a simple income statement, revenues over expenses over the last 5 years or so. And hopefully my clicker will work. So I have 2021 first shown here, and that was kind of the first year out of COVID. And so, right, we were very cautious with our expenses coming out of COVID. So you can see we had a little bit of surpluses in these first 2 years. Once we kind of got out of COVID and we knew the economy was stabilizing, we did an intentional withdrawal of reserves in that second year, because this line item is the actual reserve balance, and it was getting up to about 40% of general fund reserves. So in fiscal year 23, we had that intentional withdrawal of reserves to get a lot of the backlog of projects, kind of that pent-up demand that we kind of were sitting on for the last couple of years. Moving forward, though, and if we just look on the left line, it's flat, 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 a little bit of a bump up and a little bit of a bump up. So that's kind of the thing that we're experiencing. And so as a response to the flattening of revenues, we've definitely, as you can see in projected for 26 into 27, we're projecting to reduce expenses over the next 2 years so that we keep this minimum fund balance of right around $16 million each year. General fund is funded primarily from three sources: property tax, sales tax, and transient occupancy tax, also the hotel tax. 80% of the city's general fund revenues come from those three sources. And so that's why we put a huge emphasis on doing a deep dive on those revenue sources, what's in, projected to increase, what's not projected to increase, and the like. So like I said earlier, $54 million in the first year of the budget is estimated in about 55 in the second year. Delving into sales tax, and this is a sales tax history of actual revenues that we received since 2015 and kind of what we're focusing on. So let's see here. So normal growth right before the pandemic. We did see that little drop in 2020 from the pandemic. Huge growth coming out of the pandemic. And then, but since then, it's kind of hovered right around $14 million, and we're kind of anticipating that even in the future years as well. So really, that's 5-7 years of very flat revenue that we're projecting. TOT is right in the same boat, where we had a drop off in 2020, significant growth coming out of the pandemic, but a real flattening of revenues. And even in the future, we don't see any changes in the market as far as revenue goes. I think additional either hotels need to be constructed, our midweek room rates, something needs to adjust in order to get those revenues back up. I feel like we're kind of in a short-term ceiling currently when it comes to hotel tax. On the bright spot is property tax. So this is the most common, steady revenue source that the city has. And as you can see over the last 15 years or so, we've had steady growth, 2 to 5% growth year over year. And we're anticipating that in the future. This is one of the bright spots that the city has. That's mainly driven because of Olson South Chandler Ranch development, as well as River Oaks too. What's not included in these figures is the community facilities district. That is an additional tax that is added on, and we're gonna be receiving right around $500,000 of additional tax from those CFDs coming online. Flipping over to the expenditure side of things, on the left-hand side is this expenditures by department. As you can see, the police department continues to be the largest funded general fund department in the city. It hovers right around 25% of all total general fund revenues go to the police department. The next two departments, Public Works and Fire, those are, again, City Council's commitment to public safety and road maintenance. That's largely what Public Works is. On the right-hand side, you'll see the expenses by type, wages and benefits, because we are service industry, is the largest component of the general fund expenditures. This is a little bit higher than in years past. It usually hovers right around 65%. Because of our cost reductions in operating expenses, that allocation has kind of trickled up a little bit. So I think this is just an anomaly. I think once we get back into normal times, we can see that two-thirds ratio again. So what's included in these operating budgets? So as you had the stakeholder discussions earlier tonight, we have maintained each one of those stakeholder agreements at a flat rate. So that means the Chamber of Commerce has $115,000 per year allocated Main Street has $117,000 allocated, Wine Country Alliance $85,000, and then lastly, even though they weren't discussing it today, the ECHO homelessness contribution of $222,000 is also included in these figures.
So, Ryan?
Yes.
What category is that under on this graph?
That's actually under the city manager's office. It's a Paul Sloan in economic development.
So, may I talk about that subject now, or do we need to wait until later?
It's at the council.
Go ahead.
So, I have a concern about the three different entities not being treated equally, and I want to talk to the council about the potential of sending this back to staff, and there's $315,000 in the budget. Is that correct?
Yes.
So basically $315,000. Just to allocate $105,000 to each entity with the caveat that we visit, make it a one-year term. So let me finish that and I'll answer my question. So the money for Chamber, Main Street, and that. So the total is $315,000 approximately. So I'm recommending we do $105,000 for each, but only do it for 1 year, and then set up the framework for us to visit with them on the framework with their agreements with the city and each of the entities. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I think everybody needs to be included in the process, but we also need to treat it fairly. And the wine industry right now is hurting, and if you take a look at everything that was presented tonight, everything is about wine on all three of those entities. And I think that it's really important that we treat them fairly. So my question to the council is if we give this to staff and maybe bring that back for a future meeting with, that item.
Tomorrow we're going to be doing our council goals where we can probably get into more direction.
Yeah, I think so, because I want to discuss that, and I'm going to take almost an opposite position.
So
I'll tell you my reasons then.
Well, which is the best way? This is on the agenda right now, and I don't think we can do it in a goal setting.
What do you recommend on that, Chris?
Yeah, certainly if there's like a philosophical kind of discussion around how you fund nonprofits and community organizations in general, I think that would be appropriate for a goal setting session. If you're more interested in providing, and there's consensus among the council to provide specific direction on the numbers as proposed, then I think this forum is okay to do that if there's a consensus and direction from the council to staff on the budget as proposed. And I would just say too, Ryan has several more slides, so
yeah.
If we want it, we can have that discussion now, or we can wait till the end. Again, I'll leave that up to the council, but I do think it would be appropriate if you're talking numbers to provide some direction this evening.
Okay. I'm okay waiting till the end, whatever.
Yeah, Ryan, go ahead and finish up your presentation, then we'll get into that.
And just to reiterate, we just assumed the same funding levels over the last 2 years moving forward for those stakeholder agreements. The other component that's included in the proposed operating expenses includes a park master plan that really helps us lay the foundation for our future parks and rec programs. Some minor field equipment replacement. This is roughly about a $10,000, $15,000 a year allocation. This is going to kind of help improve the user experiences, the pitching mounds, the fences, the soccer goals, those sort of things, the play equipment and the like, consumables. And this will actually really help with the nonprofits because a lot of times they furnish their own equipment. And so this will be the city's partnership in continue to enhance those programs. The proposed budget does include a study in the North Spring Street corridor area to help reduce traffic and speeding. The budget also includes the recruitment for this, or the attainment of the spaceport license. It is $1 million in total. We have it split up over 2 years, so $750,000 in the first fiscal year and $250,000 in the second fiscal year, just because we anticipate it being more than a 12-month project. And then lastly, we do have dollars included for the housing element to be updated as well. because the cost of personnel is a big driver of the general fund, I know this is a busy chart, but essentially what this it looks like, excluding the utilities, it's the full-time equivalent of the city over history. And I was able to find a 2009 report that showed that we had, you know, right around 175 employees, and we were at about, what is this, 6 FTEs per 1,000. And so because of the Great Recession, this was actually the peak in 2009. So we did significant layoffs and staffing reductions after that. And it really took until 2022 to get to kind of the similar staffing levels as we were back in 2009.
Comparison to population?
So the population is actually that line graph. That's FTE per 1,000. So it that's the green line. And so as you can see, since 2002, we've had significant increases in our FTE per 1,000, mainly because this is public safety is the blue chart. That's the biggest driver that's causing the increases. And that is also because of Measure J20. We would not have been able to increase the FTE count if it wasn't for that tax measure.
That was a council goal back in the day.
And so and even though it was passed in 2020, it has taken 2 or 3 years to finally get that staffing count up and onboarded. Moving ahead into 26 and 27, as Mr. Hewitt mentioned, we are proposing less than 2 FTEs. And I'll discuss that further on the slides when I get to Measure J20 and the police department changes. In addition to operating expenses, we do have these other general fund expenditures and transfers. The first one, arts and public places, I think it was earlier this year, if not end of last year, council has presented an ordinance to reinstate the arts and public places program. That indicated that 0.5% of the TOT revenue collected would go to this program. So all this is showing that about 50,000 is going to be going out of the general fund into the arts and public places program. The next one down is the facility replacement fund. Historically, the city has set aside about $750,000 each year to get at our deferred maintenance of both facilities, parks, and the like. We've accumulated a little bit of a fund balance there. So in the first year, in order to balance the budget, we are recommending pausing that contribution in the first year, using the reserves that we kind of have built up. For those deferred maintenance projects, and then next year lowering it down to about $600,000 per year. We do have a little bit of general funded capital improvement projects. So this is not including Measure J20 or I-24. This is just solely the general fund CIPs, and those are limited to only the ADA transition plan. Part of the city's responsibility is to upgrade and continue to implement the ADA transition plan. So upgrades to curb gutters and sidewalks, upgrades to facility doors and the like. So. Historically, we've been trying to, our goal has always been about $500,000 a year into that program. That's going to be reduced significantly to about $50,000 per year. The other piece of capital improvements that is general funded is stormwater projects as well. And we'll get to that slide here in a little bit too. But we are taking a similar approach as we did with roads, where we're trying to allocate resources more properly of how the project works. So we're designing a stormwater project in the first year and actually going to construction in the second year, similar to the roads, so that we're kind of constantly in design or in construction. The next three are central service funds that the city has, and so it's for all intents and purposes, it centralizes these costs for risk management. And so the graph up here, a little more than $1.5 million, is just the general funds portion of risk management. When we get into the enterprise funds, you'll be able to see those contributions to the risk management fund as well. Similar with IT and fleet, it covers both the maintenance and operations of those programs, as well as the equipment replacement. And that's why fleet is so significant, because that does include our little set aside, tuck aside, so that when a vehicle or a piece of equipment does need to be replaced, we already have those dollars in hand. Now, we did do significant reductions in the set aside. Obviously, in best times, we want to fund 100% of whatever we think of the replacement cost will be in that year. We reduced that down to about 80%. So rather than saving $100 for our future car each month, we've reduced that down to $80 a month, just to kind of help balance the budget, because we don't have those revenues that we had a couple of years ago. Yes, sir.
What are you replacing in risk management? Risk management, I'm thinking just insurance typically. So what are you setting aside?
So primarily that is insurance premiums. But every once in a while, when we do get a car accident that hits a light pole or someone does damage to a park facility, we do tuck money aside so that we can repair that instead of taking it out of it.
Right, making a claim.
But we'll still go through the claim process and we'll still try to collect it. And so that's, again, how the fund works. We will repair it, we'll send out the claim if the money comes, if we do get the claim back in, or less than, it's usually less than what the cost of the repair was, but that's how that fund works and generates as well. Okay. Talk that slide to death. Real quick, and this is just this kind of a bigger picture, taking a step back, and this does include enterprise funds. So this is all the city's debt citywide, and the largest one, as you can see, is the wastewater loan and bonds. That's because we just recently upgraded our treatment plant a handful of years ago. We upgraded tertiary facilities so that we could produce recycled water, and we've spent about $1.6 million on the distribution system to get recycled water on the east side. Now that project's kind of in flux and kind of paused, but those debt obligations are still coming up, and so what that represents.
Wasn't that wastewater loan like less than 2%? I mean, it was really low.
The loans are with the state revolving loan fund program, so yeah, we do get very marketable rates.
What are the terms on that loan?
It's 35 years or so. Wow. Yeah, we still have a lot. So we're kind of transitioning from upgrading the facility to now we're just maintaining and paying off our debts.
Did you say that's all of the enterprise funds debt as well?
So that's just the wastewater loan. All the other loans are listed up here too. We do have water bonds. That's a little more than $5 million. That was to replace the 21st Street reservoir. So I think we're about halfway off that loan repayment. The GO bonds will actually come off the books in this next budget cycle in 2028.
Yeah.
But the wastewater does have some old bonds from when we upgraded the treatment plant, 25 years plus ago.
You got 5, 10, 15 plus 35, 40, you got 55 total debt.
And the wastewater fund?
Wastewater fund.
Yeah.
And then how much are you going to cover that later?
Thank you. And the presentation for enterprise funds, water, sewer, airport is going to come at the next meeting on May 19th. So yes, I will dive in more detail of debt service payments and how they overlay with the water or the wastewater rate study, because that was all anticipated during that time. Overall, on the general fund side, the GO bonds and the energy savings loan just represents that the city's been very debt conscientious and hasn't taken out a lot of debt. It's represents less than 1% of the total general fund expenditures. This was mentioned a couple weeks ago as well with the pension liability, and it has been in a while since we've talked about it. So this is how the from going from left to right, we have three plans: miscellaneous, police, and fire. Each one of those plans get analyzed usually 2 years after the fact. That's why it's as of June 30, 2024. And the total accrued liability, those are the total payments that the city expects to pay an employee when they retire. The middle column, market value of assets, that's the amount of money that we have currently tucked away for those retirement benefits. And the last column, the unfunded accrued liability, is the delta between what we think we're going to be paid out and what we currently have today. So ideally, in a perfect world, we want to be at 100%. If not more. I mean, back in the 80s, there were times where funds were super funded. They were over 100% funded, and that's, I think, kind of got us in trouble initially because we started increasing benefits without knowing the long-term implications. So with PERS, we're about 72% funded. I guess that's a grade, so we're about a C, we're about average, and that's kind of indicative statewide. But one thing that's a little bit different about us is that we do have that Section 115 trust. At June 30, 2024, it was just under $10.5 million. So really, then it's restricted for retirement. So if you take that math into consideration, it increases that funded liability to about 77%.
Do you have plans to increase the pension trust 115 this year?
We do not. Just it's earning its interest, and that's about it. We're not we're suggesting withdrawal from that in the next 2 years budget cycle.
Okay.
One last point I wanted to point out on PERS, right? A lot of their market value of assets is dependent on rate of return that they get in any particular year. Their goal is currently at 6.8% year over year. And so even if we get a 5.8% positive return, that's still going to create an unfunded liability because it's under assumptions. It's been a little bit of a roller coaster over the last 5 years. They're coming out of COVID, I think we saw a 22% increase, but then the following year we saw a negative. And so it's been a little bit of a bumpy ride, but we had the Section 115 trust in place so that if it does get any bumpier, we could tap into those funds to kind of help smooth those function. Of the Section 115 or the CalPERS? Yeah, CalPERS, it's directed by the state board.
Yeah, we have nothing to do with it. Yeah.
And I think that the Section 115 does give us a little bit more local control as well of what investments we
have. Didn't they give them a little more flexibility in their way they can invest their funds, though? I remember that was at one of our meetings years ago, that they were restricted on, you know, PERS was not allowed to do things that normal other areas could do, but they released that, and I think that's made it better on the returns as well.
Or yeah, it's starting to get a little political of what, yeah.
More risky stuff, yeah.
As Mr. Hewitt mentioned, though, the city is in a different fiscal position than most. All of our reserves are funds are fully, I'm sorry, all of our funds have fully vested reserves. So the water fund has the healthiest at about $17 million. A lot of that's kind of earmarked for future capital programs, so it's not uncommon to have a kind of a large fund balance there. But the next two, general fund, is a little more than $16 million, and then we have supplemental sales tax fund, which I've segregated it as different fund balances or different reserves, because we are intending to spend down a considerable amount of supplemental sales tax over the next 2 years, but maintain that general fund minimum reserve of 30%. As I just mentioned, the Section 115 Trust, it's actually grown to about $12 million to date. So over the last couple of years, we've gotten a pretty decent rate of return on those dollars. But it is important, right? We are in a different time than we were 4 or 5 years ago with the growth. I do remember talking to City Manager Ty Lewis at the time, too. Historically, we've always seen that 2, 3, 4% growth. We got to this new plateau. It was like, so should we just assume that we're going to see 2, 3, 4% growth? And that just has not been the case. It's definitely been that flat lining. And so that's why we are recommending no additional general fund positions. Those two positions that we do mention are coming out of Measure J20, which again, I have accounted for separately. Moving on to supplemental sales tax and Measure J20 and I-24. So very similar, I did revenues and expenses of just the supplemental sales tax, and this one has a little bit more of a fluctuation because it has a lot of the road maintenance program appropriated in there, and it takes several years for that to get completed. So in fiscal year 26, that's why you see a big jump up. So we do have over, almost $60 million of appropriated funds in the supplemental sales tax. The vast majority of that is for the roads, and so we just need to kind of get those going, but as you can see in the first year, we're proposing a pretty good significant decline in reserves, about $9 million. This will take the fund balance down slightly. From about $15.9 million down to about $6 million. Mm-hmm. And the whole purpose of Measure J20 and I-24 was to invest in the community. It wasn't to build up reserves or hold on to it. So that's staff's intentional withdrawal of reserves to get at more some of the road projects and public safety improvements. So the supplemental sales tax fund continues to only invest in police, fire, and street maintenance related programs. We do have programmed over the next 2 years $24 million of these funds going to streets.
Can I ask you a question, Ryan? So the next 2 years, we're going to spend $24 million from the supplemental sales tax that's been accruing, basically. Now we're going to put it in these big projects.
Correct.
And we have, that doesn't include the grant funding or anything?
Correct.
Thank you.
And then just to reiterate what Mr. Hewitt mentioned earlier, this J-20 does have a sunset in 2032. We do have personnel on this funding source, and so that is something we do need to address sooner than later. Very specific to the police department, again, we recommend less than two FTEs, and this just, the two FTEs that we're recommending is just continues to build the ranks within the department. Within the last 5 years or so, or 5 years ago, we only had police officer sergeants, and then you have commander. So you essentially had two line-level staffs, police officers and sergeants. What we've done here is we've added corporals, which are kind of a senior officer, so it goes in between officers and sergeants, and then we're recommending an additional rank of lieutenants. And so those would be kind of your managers, 7-day-a-week coverage. That kind of helps between the administration commander staff and the patrol staff as well. So in doing so, we're recommending adding two new lieutenants, but then reducing one commander position. Commander Todd Renner retired late last year, and so we're recommending converting that position to the lieutenants. The other one is to increase a part-time records staff person to full-time status. As you are aware, I think we've mentioned this several times in the past, recruiting for part-time staff is very challenging with the labor market that as it is, and so getting a full-timer is not only needed, but it'll be definitely easier on the recruitment perspective of it. Measure J-20 currently funds 21 police officers. We have 14 currently on the street and on patrol, either infiltrating officers or patrol. We do have six that are going to graduate the academy, hopefully in the next month or two. And then we have three that are scheduled to go into the academy in about July time to graduate in December. And so if you do the math, yeah, we are showing too many officers that are authorized, but we're holding back some of the sergeant positions and corporals so that we could do kind of a little bit of a snowball, like promote existing staff up, and then we'll
it's all there. You have all their salaries in the budget?
And all the salaries are in the budget, yes. And then really the next step is really to do the implementation of the standards of cover and the strategic plan for the police department over the next handful of years. Oops, wrong way. On the fire side, again, we are maintaining core services there. I think we have one vacant position that we're recruiting for, but the paramedic squad is deployed. It is currently in the budget to continue to operate in service. As you're aware, the fire training tower has recently been completed, and so that has positive impacts to our insurance rating and the like. Other things that are included in the budget currently is that investment into that SLO County emergency medical service project, the ambulance service project. So it's the initial startup cost with the repayment. It's assumed plugged in there, so we have those resources set aside. There is a handful of personal protective equipment needs that need to be replaced. Same with hose and nozzle replacement. Those fire hoses are quite costly, if you ask me.
What's that CAD to CAD?
So CAD is computer aided dispatch. Ah. And so we currently have our own CAD system in our police department communications system. And then SLO County Sheriff has their own computer aided dispatch. Unfortunately, we got two new systems that don't communicate. And so we're going to take the extra steps to get the program so that we could communicate without having to do additional manual work and drop some important aspects. And then lastly, the paramedic squad sponsorships. This is a new program. This is similar to what we do with police officers, where we hire them on board and we send them through the police academy. This would be something similar, where we take a selected number of firefighters or fire engineers and send them through the paramedic school. It's kind of similar to sponsorship, and that's kind of hopeful to expand our paramedic ranks in the department. As I mentioned, the supplemental sales tax does fund the majority of our road maintenance program. And so here's a history of actual expenses from 2017 to 2020-25. As you can see, 2025 was the highest expenditures to our roads in recent history. But we do have over $40 million already budgeted and programmed for future projects. The biggest one would be like Creston Road Phase 2 would be kind of the big one that's already budgeted in there. But as you can see, the $24 million in 2027-28 is the continued investment there. Some bigger projects, again, that the committee can see over the next couple years. We kind of talked to death about Creston Road Phase 2, but we also have the Riverside Avenue. We're going to do the road resurfacing after the fair, after we do the curbs and sidewalk repairs. So that'll be coming to council for approval in the next couple months. We also have Commerce Way. I guess I'm repeating myself based on Ditas's presentation earlier. So a lot of exciting road projects ahead of us. Switching gears to the capital improvement program. Again, this is a little bit different. We look at the capital improvement program over a five-year horizon versus just the 2 years, with just the first 2 years being what's actually in the budget, but the little bit of a longer outlook just to make sure that these capital projects are being funded. So we do have programmed an additional $1.2 million in the Public Safety Center. One of those is to expand the dispatch center to include additional working station and kind of fit our growing staff. The other piece of it is remodeling and expanding the records and the community services officers' office space as well. And there's some other minor carpet painting stuff that is being requested inside the facility. Major dollars being invested in infrastructure. So we have a lot of bridges. So we have both the 24th Street Bridge that's going to expand. We already have federal grant dollars that are programmed and greenlit so we can go into construction. We do have the state-funded Niblick Road Transportation. That's, again, another almost $20 million grant-funded project, as well as the 13th Street Bridge and the Niblick Street. Those aren't necessarily on here, but those are also deck resurfacing projects that are going to be happening on the horizon. We do have the upgrade and remodel of the city library. We presented the conceptual plans to City Council a handful of months ago. We're currently going to final design on that. And so the next step, which is kind of plugged into the five-year horizon, is to actually construct and remodel the library. We do need some additional funding to help us get over the line, but that's at least our goal right now, is to get through the final design.
The Vine Street Bridge was already appropriated.
The Vine Street Bridge, yeah, it is completely appropriated and included in the budget. And that's actually a good point, Mr. Mayor. The report and everything I provided, and even the final document, the only projects that are included in the capital improvement are those that needed additional appropriations or that are going to come online in the future. Yeah. If it's a fully funded project today and not completed, it's going to get carried over. It's going to be completed. But there's no additional funds that needed. So I'm just, for simplicity purposes, we'll keep those segregated. So a great example is the courtyard, right? We have a new corporation yard that's currently under design to go adjacent to fire station number 3. As of right now, that project is fully funded. So we have all the funding sources needed to construct that building. It's not going to be done by June 30th this year. So when I do the financial report or the budget, it doesn't include that project in the future because it's already fully funded today. Right. The project will get carried over in the revised budget so that we could get it completed in the next fiscal year. Did that answer your question?
Hang on.
Keep doing that, sorry.
Yeah.
Things like Werriwerra Bridge that are conceptualized, we've talked about them in the past, but they're not ready to come online yet. They're not included because they're not even close.
So the Werriwerra Creek Bridge actually is in the budget, but it needs future funding in order to get to construction. So we do have a placeholder for unsecured funding in years 4 or 5 for the bridge. But we've identified a handful of projects that need additional funding. And if you give me a second, I could pull those ones up for you as well. So I mentioned already the library remodel. We already have about $800,000 set aside from development impact fees, but we need about an additional $2.4 million from unrestricted sources. And we've been in talks with Senator Laird, or not Senator Laird, Panetta, to kind of help fund that, but we'll also need help from the Library Foundation and the Friends of the Library in order to get construction dollars. Other ones include the Warrior Creek Bridge, so we have about $38 million shortfall, projected to be in 2030, so year four of the budget. We have the US 101 and Highway 46 roundabouts. That has about a $29 million shortfall for fiscal year 29. The North River bike and pedestrian path, about $12 million of a shortfall program for 29. The Larry Moore Park development park, about $8 million shortfall there for in 2030. And then the big one, the Union Road overcrossing, that has about a $71 million shortfall in 2031. So we put those projects in there so that we're aware of them. We know what the fiscal needs are, but it's in the outer years. And more likely, as we get down the road, those will continue to stay in those outer years until we actually get secured funding and we know
those
it's going to be forward.
Out farther? Just keep bumping them out, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. Councilmember Beal, you wanted to finish up your question, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, Ryan, you're really sharp. You really know these numbers, and it's taken me a little while to get my head around them. But I think from a communications standpoint, you do a very, very good job. But I think it needs even a little more explanation, because getting our heads around the year, whether it's spent, whether it's accrued, whether we're carrying it forward, whether there's a gap, whether it's funded, like for me, that's like not always like apparent when I'm looking at a table. So I just say that because also to manage people's expectations, right? So, you know, I say $3 million in the library budget, you know, I'm like, woo! And then I read the fine print, you know, it's like it's not fully funded.
No.
So for me, and I'm sure other people, I'm not alone, really being clear on the nuance and the specifics of how these numbers flesh out. Even the reserve issue is a little complicated. You know, like the numbers don't balance out, and you got the money coming and going from these different reserve funds. But people couldn't get the wrong impression on that little, you know, sheet. So I think how we communicate this and even maybe, you know, I think it's important. I think you're doing a great job, but I also want to make sure that other people can understand really what we're talking about.
Sure. So just for you and the community to understand too, when we do publish the actual budget document, there will be individual pages, so one page per project that really does break down its funding source, it's the fiscal year it's going to be constructed, and the project descriptions. And so I hope that's the communication tool that the community will benefit mostly from. It's a little tricky at this point right now because we have hundreds of projects that could come forward for a particular proposal, but without knowing a little bit more fine-tuned which ones are going to be in or out, we'll kind of help with that final document.
Along that line, if I might say, another budget that I have to deal with at another level does the same kind of thing, except they have project at its cost, and then they have the amount funded and the amount still unfunded, or the percentage that is funded and what's not funded. That makes it much more clear, much easier to understand.
Yeah, and if you do go to page, I mean, it's PDF page 10 of the 13 of the staff report, it doesn't necessarily break it down by project, but it does show the proposed funding sources and how much each of those general fund, the facility replacement fund, SB1, the diff things, how they're being utilized. And then the library, last line out in here, is unsecured. So unsecured revenue is.
But all these are basically numbers in point in time. They all change.
That's right.
That's true.
And please know that, like, I'm not being critical. I'm just actually trying to find a way that we can be more effective in how we're communicating with people. And I know that this is going to change because it's not adopted and there will be footnotes, but
and then also too, an additional thing, rather than having this community have to read through that 300 page budget document, even though it's my Bible and I love everything about it. We do come out with a budget in brief, which is about a 4, 5, 6 pager that kind of just summarizes most of the information too.
Part of this is just practice. You'll unfortunately become an expert at this the more you play with it. I don't wish that on anybody, but eventually you will. It's just a matter of time. But the budget in brief is really the executive summary kind of portion that helps. And then when you see something in there, that's when you go back to Ryan or Catherine and say, help me understand this. And they will. They're very good about that.
So moving on to the capital improvement project. So we do have these broken down into, I think, 4 or 5 different buckets of city facilities, parks and recs, stormwater, and transportation projects, and then the road maintenance project as well. So if we have 5 different categories. Over the next 5 years, here's kind of the estimated dollars we're going to spend on facilities. Again, I already mentioned it includes the dispatch remodel, but it also adds dollars to the transit center bathroom replacement. That's the one next to Earth Tones. We also have a dollars program here for replacement of our gym bleachers right next door, as well as some design work and remodel of fire station number 2 in anticipation for J20 to potentially get renewed there. And then some other enhancements to Centennial Park security, and then the parking lot repavement at the Senior and Veterans Center. All of these individual projects are listed in the staff report and itemized there. One thing I do want to emphasize is, and you'll see in the next 3 or 4 slides, the bottom axis is in millions of dollars, and it caps out at $10 million. And so for the next 3 slides, there's not a project or a fiscal year that we're going to spend more than $10 million. But you'll see when we get to transportation, it's going to well exceed kind of these littler numbers. They're just not to scale. So bear with me. So the next one is parks and recs. So a very minor investments in our parks and rec system. The big one, again, being the library master plan, which is really going to be our future focusing document, which is not included in the forecast. In 2030, the $8 million, that is Larry Moore Park redevelopment. Again, that is an unsecured dollar amount of $8 million that we need to figure out funding for. As I mentioned earlier, stormwater project, and this stormwater is a tricky enterprise or utility, however you want to call it, in that it is funded by the general fund. We can't find a nexus to charge customers stormwater discharges, and so that's kind of why it becomes a general fund obligation. But over the next 5 years or so, we're looking at about investments about $1.5 million each year. Two stormwater projects. Again, that's usually about $500,000 in design in the first year, and about $1 million in construction in the second year. And so you can kind of see the different segments that we're looking at. The downtown drainage one is a big one on like kind of 12th and Pine. Whenever we get any sort of rain, those corners get flooded pretty quickly. And so that is one of our priorities, is try to remedy our walkable community. And this is what I mean by the, so we're at a $10 million scale here, and then we jump over to $80 million. And so really all the other stuff I've been talking about is, you know, it's in this realm right here. And so a lot of these transportation projects really kind of put a different perspective of how massive and how big some of these projects are. Yeah. 24th Street Bridge, right? We're expanding a whole, or constructing a whole new bridge. Even though we're not adding a lane, right, there is still sidewalks and bike lanes on both sides that's proposed. The 12th Street sidewalks, that has been an ongoing project. That's kind of to help fix some of the lifts, again, on that city park corridor. And so continuing improvements along those things. We already mentioned the Nibble Crow corridor, the grant-funded project that's supposed to go from First or Spring Street all the way to Creston. And then the kind of the bigger unfunded projects I had mentioned. Okay, so next steps. So we are here on May 5th talking kind of preliminary general fund supplemental sales tax. Tomorrow night, we have our city council goals and priority discussion, which again will help shape and finalize this budget that we're in. In 2 weeks, I'll give a similar presentation focusing on the water, wastewater, and airport funds. And then the first meeting in June to finalize our priorities and goals, and then with adoption in the second meeting in June for a July 1 fiscal year start. With that, Mr. Mayor, I have concluded my presentation, so happy to take questions, comments, or concerns.
Well, no disrespect, Ryan, but you cleared out the room public once.
I tend to do that.
Numbers are always a sleeper, so. Okay, questions, and we were kind of getting into it, which I think was important. It was such a long, it's important that we get a question when it's happening on the screen, I think. So just keep it brief when we do that. But now we can pick it back up with others. Anybody else?
I have a compliment. This is much better than the education budgets that we have to sit through. Which would you rather do, this one or the education one?
Maybe I could help over there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other questions down from our side here?
Another people first. I might
have okay. Questions. Fred, you have a question?
I don't want to get into a debate tonight. I've got a meeting at 8:30 tomorrow morning. I'm already going to be over an hour late for two because I have to get some sleep. So I don't want to get into it much more tonight.
Okay. Yeah, tomorrow we can get back into it too.
Yeah.
Further discussions.
I know it is late. But I mean, are we going to be talking? We aren't really going to be talking dollars tomorrow.
No.
Like we, right? So a general comment I would have is I would really hope that this item would not be last on the agenda. I mean, it's so late. We're all so tired. And I would hope that in the future that this stuff would come earlier because we all want to leave.
Okay, I would say this then, that I think the most important thing is to preserve, to the best of our ability, our income sources. And to do everything we can to see that those income sources are kept at the maximum we can achieve. Without costing us excessive amount of money, of course.
Our services equal basically our revenue and, you know, services out. And I think what Brian's trying to say is that we're flat, so we're trying to maintain what we are providing right now. I think the Councilman Gregory's point is he wants to rearrange some of the numbers. I think that's something we can talk about. However, I think Ryan's got to ask, well, where do you want me to pull it from? So, Steve, you want to pick it up?
I'm trying to stay within the budgeted amount of money we have in the budget. I don't want to take any more. In retrospect, there's been a history of giving extra money to the Chamber and to Main Street for many years. And for many years, we've had the Wine Alliance asking for more funding. And now we're in a crisis situation with the wine. The wine industry is more important than ever, to be fair with them. So I'm not trying to take money from anybody. We have a limited budget, but we need to be fair with the Wine Alliance. They've been at $85,000 for the last 5 years, and everybody else is getting more funding. And it's just not a smart move right now. The wine industry is going to need all the help we have. And if you just take a look at the conversation tonight from both the Chamber and from Main Street and from the Wine Alliance, we've been the wine cow, the wine place of the year for 10 years in a row. And it's because of their marketing, a combination of the Chamber of Commerce, a combination of Main Street. So we've taken those three entities and given them what we can when we can. I'm not trying to take anything from anybody. What I'm trying to do is be fair to our city partners who have been really contributing a lot. You saw the metrics that the Wine Alliance showed. You know, they're hitting 10 billion contacts. And that income and that promotion between